You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue. 9/13, on my birthday. That's right. 60 years old today. Halfway to 120. That's right.
Yeah, we'll see what comes first.
Exactly. Halfway to 120. Yeah. Probably
I wouldn't bet on that pony, buddy.
Probably.
I don't mean to be mean.
Probably not. Probably not, sports fans. Yeah, but who would want to be that old? Man? You don't even know.
Oh, no way.
Right. Like, you know, it's like, I was talking about it the other day, but, right, John Conyers been in the news, right? Well, you see John Conyers, like, in his committee seat up there. He's a chairman of whatever House Judiciary Committee. He's up there. He's got that, like, pyramid little house thing in front of him, right? He's like,
yeah.
Oh, man, that's big. Then you see him walking down the hall. He's a small,
frail
old man. And you're like, the dude's 88. Let him go home. Leave him alone. He doesn't know that he's going into women's rooms, taking off his clothes. Come on.
Right.
Leave him alone. Just tell him to go. Yeah.
He lives in an altered state of reality.
Yeah, he's 88, for God's sakes. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, come on. He doesn't know. So I think there ought to be mandatory age retirement for, look, you know how many people that are in Congress that are over, we did this once, that are over the age of like 64? It's like the majority of Congress.
Or, let's just say 62, because that's the mandatory retirement age for, officers in the military, because their mental capacity is diminishing. So if the mental capacity of an officer at 62 is diminishing, it's okay for them to be a congressman? What?
we don't want you to make decisions, right, about combat, but you can go ahead and enact laws.
Yeah.
No.
That will affect those combatives. Yeah. What?
No problem. All right. So
yeah, we don't see an issue with that.
Age of 62. Hold on. All right. 61, 62. There's 54 senators that are over the age of 62. 54. It's amazing. There is, okay, hold on. There are eight that are over the age of 80.
Jeez.
A McCain, Barbara Mikulski, Pat Roberts, Jim Inhofe, Richard Shelby, Orrin Hatch, Chuck Grassley, and Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein just announced she's gonna run again. She wants another 6-year term. By the time she gets elected, she'll be 84. She'll be 90. What did he say?
Yeah. But you know what? That's California. They're like,
shut up.
We don't have a problem with that. That's ridiculous and lunacy.
Hold on.
That's California standards.
Chuck Grassley, Iowa. Orrin Hatch, Utah. Richard Shelby, Alabama. Jim Inhofe, Oklahoma. Pat Roberts, Kansas. Barbara Mikulski, Maryland. John McCain, Arizona. Come on, man. Don't even play that nonsense with me.
I can play that nonsense.
Yeah. Okay. One of your senator resigned today, Al Franken. What? How do you feel about that? Did you?
My senator. I told you, don't do this.
Oh.
I asked you nicely. Not associated with that guy.
Okay. Stop denying your heritage. Okay. Stop it. Okay.
I was born in San Diego, California.
You lived your life in Minnesota.
No, I lived my life in, okay, if you look, I only lived my life there for about 12 years.
Yeah, that's where you were formed as a human. Okay.
No, I was formed in the human as a Marine.
Here we go. All right. Hey, stop it, okay? Stop it. It's my birthday. Just stop it. The
there is no rule like that. You're not my wife. Don't give me the, it's my birthday, I can do anything I can do.
Yeah, come on. That's why you have them. The,
no.
Let's see, email. Mac, I'd be curious about the Gunner's take on what you and Tom Drouty were talking about.
If it involves deep thinking, I'm not in for that right now.
You're not?
No, I'm very shallow this morning.
Well, you're shallow most of the time, but on occasion, you know, what do they say? The sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while. Every once in a while, Mike. I mean, you come up with stuff that's actually profound. What you watched the testimony of the FBI director? What'd you think of that? Was it anything substantial? Or it was open session. It's just boilerplate bullshit, right? Everybody posturing.
Right.
Is that what it was?
Malarkey. That's what they call that. Malarkey.
Malarkey. So it was a load of malarkey?
It was a truckload of malarkey.
All right. Everybody posturing. So let me guess. I didn't watch it. Okay, so the Democrats attacked Trump.
Yeah, everything turned to Trump.
All right, and then the Republicans, they attacked Comey.
Yeah.
And then the new FBI director just sat there and took all the face shots. And I think, right, that's his job. And then the guys standing behind them, sitting behind them, the FBI's guys that were sitting behind them, just look road hard and put away wet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they woke up this morning going, God, I can't wait for today's hearing.
Yeah. Those guys, hey, they need a little makeup on, and you got to get some sleep the night before, and maybe go for a run the morning of. So even if you're not invigorated, you look that way. You look like wide-eyed and alert, like, let's go, let's do this, man. I want to show the American people. But they sat there in the back, behind him looking like they were headed for the gallows. Here's an email.
Oh, yeah.
While no fanboy of Comey, I hold out hope that his actions will become more sensible as the layers get peeled off this thing. Same with Mueller. Don't forget that what Trey Gowdy said on Martha's show several weeks ago, quote, Comey did what he had to do, unquote, but Gowdy wouldn't expand on it. These guys are getting testimony in closed sessions that we can't see, not to mention being part of conversations that are not reported in the media. I think the corruption that is being exposed will dwarf Watergate. Whoa. If some heroes in the media will stand up for the people. Just my opinion. Hey, let me tell you. I think Comey's bullshit. And Mike and I talked about it. Yeah, Trump clears the room, and then he leans on Comey, and Comey says, I didn't know what to say. Come on, dog. What, are you stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's believing that. And then he didn't go to the attorney general after that. He went and had a staff meeting and took his notes and shit. Come on, that's just bullshit. So I think Comey's
where I get really
he's a game player.
That is the whole the check and balance system. FBI is running amok. They can't hold their own people accountable. The stuff that they're not doing, you know, for them to get subpoenaed by Congress, because in the Constitution, you know, there's a document. Hey, the FBI, you answer to the lawmakers because they provide your funding.
Yeah, I don't, but you know, Mike, but you've seen episode after episode where the FBI just doesn't provide it, and then nothing happens. Like, doesn't Congress have subpoena power, and can't they do?
They have subpoenaed the FBI, and you know what the FBI does? No, they don't even talk to them. They don't even answer the subpoena.
I know. So how does that work, though?
Who's going to arrest the FBI? What police is that? The Capitol Police?
Easy, man. They're the ones that they do good stuff.
They're park rangers that have.
No, they're not. they acted heroically when that guy had the gun shooting up the baseball practice.
Okay.
All right, so apologize.
I'm sorry.
There you go. All right, so now that we got that straight, the Park Place, I mean, they can do good stuff. And they used to just stand around, you know, but now there's a lot of security up on Capitol Hill. I think their job's a little bit more robust. So anyway, so who arrests them? I don't know, but if I have oversight over you and you say, yeah, Matt, go to hell, I'm not giving you that. What is my recourse? Nothing?
You have no powers. You have no enforcement powers. You can't say, Matt, Mike, you're fired. Sure thing, buddy.
No, but can I hold you in contempt? Can I charge you? Can't I do something?
How are you going to get me to court?
I'll arrest you.
You can't. You don't have that power.
A federal marshal do?
Federal marshals don't answer to the Congress.
If they're federal marshals, so who is a law enforcement branch for Congress?
For Congress?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Capitol Police.
We need to pull the string on that.
I think it's the Capitol Police, because the Supreme Court justices and Capitol policemen as bodyguards. For the judicial branch. The legislative branch, I mean, they may have private security within the building. I don't think they do, because I think they have Capitol Police inside the building. Capitol Police provide protection for the judicial and the legislative branch. The executive branch, however, has its own police department.
I just got emailed this. A senior Justice Department official was demoted this week amid an ongoing investigation into his contacts with the opposition research firm responsible for the anti-Trump dossier. You know,
these judges, oh my God.
It's pretty disturbing. Again, like, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but when you see so many data points line up, you know, and I, like most people, like, I grew up, like, watching the FBI on Sunday night after Walt Disney, or I think it was on right before Walt Disney. You know, the FBI with Efren Zimbalist Jr. And then they gave you the rest of the story after they apprehended the bad guy. Right? I mean, and it was only later that we found out that J. Edgar Hoover was a cross-dresser. You know?
Right.
And, but nobody was going to out him, grandma. Hey, who's the ugly grandma sitting over there in the corner? Oh, that's that's J. Edgar. It's Jed Groover, man, leave him alone. Oh, yeah, grandma needs a shave. Here's the story. A senior Justice Department official was demoted this week amid ongoing investigation about the Trump dossier. Until Wednesday morning, Bruce G. Orr held two titles at the DOJ, Associate Deputy Attorney General, a post that placed him four doors down from his boss, Rob Rosenstein, and Director of Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, a program described by the department as the centerpiece of the Attorney General's drug policy, or will retain his drug policy title. He's been stripped of the higher post and ousted from his fourth floor Justice Main office. Initially, senior department officials would not provide the reason for Orr's demotion, but Fox News has learned that evidence collected by the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, chaired by Devin Nunes, Republican from California, indicates that Orr met during the 2016 campaign with Christopher Steele, the former British spy who authored the dossier. Oh, my God. So now you've got somebody in the Justice Department having met with this. You got to be kidding me. And then here's the question that they want to know. Was this bullshit dossier used as the basis for the FISA warrant against Manafort? Is that? And so, I don't know. It just seems, Mike, that there's too many data points that point to
craziness.
Yeah, craziness. And not, like, look, Mike and I, and I don't know, how did the guy's text to his girlfriend about Trump being a douchebag, how did those wind up in public? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, you know, Mike and I could be texting and going, like, God, what a douchebag. But, you know, we go to work and we could still do our jobs, even if I don't like them. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with, I'm not putting Bill Clinton's office up in, picture up in my office. He's not my president. Hey, you get his goddamn picture up there right now. Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah. Well,
yes, sir.
Yeah, you're above that.
Yeah. That's
silly nonsense.
Yeah, and so it's your job. It's a job you've sworn an oath, right, to execute, and you're supposed to do it. The American people rely on you, and you either believe in that or you don't. And to me, so much of this bullshit is that bullshit. It's people interjecting their own feelings, their own political leanings into their jobs in the Justice Department and the FBI. That's scary shit. Hold on, AP News. Larry Nassar, a Michigan doctor who assaulted gymnasts, gets 60 years in prison for child porn crimes. This just in, a police officer from South Carolina who shot an unarmed black man in a much publicized video seen around the country has received 20 years in prison. Good. That dude earned that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that was
stupid
bullshit.
Prizes.
For stupid acts.
Do you remember the Baltimore, was it Baltimore, where they had the big riots?
Yeah.
And burn the city,
yeah.
And then that was the over the six police officers, right? That
killed
Freddie Gray.
Oh yeah.
And then Marion, the DA who came on the news, said we have undisputable evidence that's going to show that clearly that these we have a strong case. Blah blah blah. Well, they were acquitted, four of them, and then they decided not to try the other two because she realized she didn't have a case.
Right.
So now they filed charges against the former DA, or I don't know if she still did. I don't know if she is former, if she still is, but they filed charges of wrongful prosecution. So she's got a chance now to go to the pokey.
And Baltimore's got a serious murder issue now. And
oh yeah,
they're having problems hiring cops, and the mayor's like in the news all the time talking about the murder rate and what they're going to do about it. But
which is nothing.
Yeah, they've got a problem in Baltimore.
Yeah, ignoring the problem is nothing, guys. It's nothing. You're doing nothing if you're just ignoring it.
Email. Mac, how about the Gunner be a halfway decent correspondent and tell us what actually happened in the FBI testimony for those of us who work? Gunner, how about you be a halfway decent correspondent?
Oh, I turned it off. I turned it off when all the BS was going on. I mean, it was just the pontification over and over. You know, and you kind of hope, like, okay, this guy, he's a Trump appointee, you know. He was brought in there. He was hand-selected. But yet, you know, his answers were to questions. What about this? Well, there's an ongoing investigation about from the IG, and I really can't speculate. What about this? Well, there's a ongoing investigation. You know, like, come on, grow a pair. I got it. You can answer some of those questions. We're not asking for the world's secrets here. You know, I just wanted to answer. Or what are we going to do about this? You know, let's answer this. The answer would be, I'm going to fire these guys. And actually, after today, being on the hot seat, I'm going to fire him today when I get back to the office because I'm so pissed off because the way you guys treated
me. Right. Right.
No.
Let me read this. A series of shootings resulted in Baltimore's 320th homicide this year. Killings continue at the Maryland City. As the Maryland City becomes the nation's murder capital, pulling ahead of New York City in raw numbers and Chicago in terms of homicides per capita. Yeah. A police investigation is underway into a triple shooting in southern Baltimore, in the southern Baltimore neighborhood of Brooklyn, which left one man dead, one wounded on Sunday. These shootings come after Baltimore saw its 319th homicide in 2017 last week, surpassing 318 killings in 2016. That grisly number does still not match the 344 homicides Baltimore saw in 2015.
Right.
Wow. So, yeah, Baltimore. They've got problems in Baltimore.
Well, they've always had problems in Baltimore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think...
The Saint knew.
What's that? Oh, no.
The Saint knew.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. However, most of the time, you know, those high murder numbers, a lot of times, I mean, are significant about, you know, drug and slash gang drug warfare. And because that's a pretty lucrative little business, in case you don't know out there, sports fans. And murdering to protect the millions, the hundreds of millions of dollars that are involved in the drug trade, that's a no-brainer. Of course we're gonna, protect our revenue. It's like the Taliban fighting for helmet. Hey,
right, for the poppy.
Yeah, this is not just a fight for real estate, sports fans. There's a lot of money that's at stake here. So,
well, it's livelihood.
Yeah. Yeah. The, I didn't follow up. Can I take a break so I can go stop my dog from barking? And then,
yeah, I was going to say, I don't know whose dog that is.
That's Joe. That's Joe the watchdog. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 4 minutes on, All Marine Radio. And Gunner's going to talk about, if he was a CNO, what he would do to change the Navy. More of that coming up next.
I would just disband it.
Stop it. More of that coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum, it's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Pop a top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set them up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let.
All right, joining me. Rejoining me, continuing along with me, is Michael Musselman. Let me read you an email from somebody.
First of all, just because it's your birthday, don't sing to us, please.
I'll sing anytime I want. And the more you tell me not to sing, guess what's going to happen?
Oh, please sing more than that.
Here's another one. James Kallstrom, FBI, and Andrew McCarthy, DOJ, are old school guys that have hunted and prosecuted bad guys from the mafia to jihadis. They have been very outspoken about the actions of DOJ, FBI in the past 18 months. Haven't seen them very much on the news. That's all I'm saying. What I'm curious about is, Mike, if Mike were the CNO, I already gave my recommendations. General Droughty was on and Chris Woodbridge was on talking about the issues. But I got this. Mac, you should hear the stories that my peers tell about dudes being ensign on ships. They have zero training outside of their degree or whatever system they're supposed to be in charge of. They're treated as second-class citizens, talked down to and berated by chiefs, as well as senior enlisted. They hit the fleet with zero experience or training for specifically what their specialty is on the ship and have a hard time because of that. Any NROTC or Naval Academy dude gets training in navigation and seamanship on a 105-foot vessel. Once they complete that, their next step is you're on a destroyer. Not only do they not know how the whole thing kind of works together, but they don't know how to interact with the people that work for and with. They don't know what they don't know, and they're behind the eight ball from the start. When an ensign shows up in a fleet, the ship, they have to balance getting their surface warfare officer pin, which is the ability to stand watch on the bridge, and knowing what the fuck happens in their department and being good at it. They're judged by their ability to get their pin, not in their job proficiency in their department. Once they are able to get their pin, they generally stop being treated like shit and start being treated like people. They don't know what to do in their specialty because they're trying to get their pin. They also don't get to be proficient in what they're supposed to do when it comes to actually being a surface warfare officer and being able to watch the ship and know what to do because of those two competing interests. Semper Fidelis. That's from junior officer, Marine Corps type. They're listening, Musselman. So, give me your solution. You want to hear mine? I'll give you mine real quick. I would stand up a basic school for officers. I would also stand up a series of leadership schools that you would go to in addition to, say you went through, you're a naval officer and you went to intermediate level school, which is the Expeditionary Warfare School. You would complete that. And it might be a month or two, but you would come TAD to, you know, our leadership course that would run in August, September before you went to the fleet. You could move your family, but then you would come back. And you would talk with, we would talk leadership, we would talk officer-enlisted relationships, we would talk about the complexity of where you are in life, which in this case would be the lieutenant commander, and commander phase of what you would be doing. Most of the time you're going to go to school before you're going to be a commander again. So it would be that intermediate phase of your life. And I would do that for the enlisted side too and introduce them to the officer piece of it. I also think the Navy's got a problem with SEALs. Okay? There's a reason you hear about SEALs in the news and not Delta Force. I think that were I the Navy, I would cease allowing people to enlist specifically for the SEALs. I would choose the best that I had and make them SEALs out of people that signed up to join the United States Navy and not have the Navy join them on independent study while they become SEALs. I think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty boy, you know, you joined us, we didn't join you thing. I'm here to be a SEAL, not part of the Navy, for God's sakes. Done with that. The reason that Delta Force, in my opinion, is different is those guys join the Army to become soldiers. And they are soldiers. And then out of that, they test and they move through to Delta, which is different than the way the Navy does it. And I think that's why the Navy has the problems that it has. And then the third thing is I would fire people on a regular basis. I would get the people in there that can actually no shit lead. And this is the Musselman caveat to that. And when the CO goes, the command master chief goes right with them. They are welded at the hip. Okay? So you guys are a pair. You might hate each other, but guess what? You're in this together. And if you screw it up, not only is he going, you're going with him too. So that's how I would begin to unscrew the Navy if I was CNO. Go ahead.
That's a really good start. The problem really comes into those. It's a whole generation. How do you fix a generation thought? I mean, there's still somewhat of that class system that's still evident there. You know, and it's just an amazing dynamic that takes place on the boat. And I don't know how you'd go about it other than you got to start changing everything. The way your officers are trained, your senior enlisted are trained. Everybody. And now it's only coming to light that, you know, these are issues.
Well, come on. We've known it for a long time, though. Yes? Yeah. We have. And again, the Navy has an incredible leadership history of, and again, Tom Girardi said this an hour ago. Who suffered the most casualties? Which branch of the service suffered the most casualties in World War II?
Probably the Navy.
Army. Number two, Navy.
Navy.
Yeah. And I was surprised at that. I was like, whoa. But you think, when you lost a ship, right, and the battles that the Navy fought with the kamikazes and all the stuff that they did, and
yeah.
I mean that was a rough Navy, that was a hard ass rough Navy, and so it's interesting. But I do agree with you, Mike, and I don't know that you can do a whole lot with the people that are in the Navy that have been raised in this system that doesn't demand accountability. And again, my point is, look, nobody hit the fucking collision alarm. Okay? That's how bad it is. We're going to collide with the ship, and it's not like that happens, like, in 2 seconds, right? We're turning, they're turning, and we see that it's unavoidable, and for 2 minutes, we're staring at each other while we collide. Okay? Probably longer than 2 minutes. And nobody has the good sense to hit the collision alarm or general quarters so the people don't get crushed to death and drown. That's the kind of shit you're talking about. And so I don't know that you can do anything with those people, but fire them and put somebody else junior that can lead in that position. I don't know that you can do anything other than that.
Right.
But I think your point's well made. You have a whole generation. And before we came on the air, I was talking to Mike about something Chris Woodbridge said, which is, you know, the Ohio class replacement submarine type is going to annihilate the Navy's budget and impact the Marine Corps' budget. What's wrong with that? And Mike's talked about this, you know, the system of procurement. And Mike, can you imagine what a system like that does to the budget and how it does suck the life out of the room?
Yeah. Oh, God. I complain about the little widgets that I had to work with and I couldn't deal with. You know, that whole, and that itself is a city, you know, it's a floating city.
Right.
Everything that goes into that thing. Ugh.
right. And now, I mean, we have fewer ships in the Navy than we've had since World War II, before World War II. And we buy these most expensive versions of it, and we don't get enough copies of it, and then we wonder, like, well, geez, why are we so small? Why is everything, you know, so screwed up? Why we don't have the money? Because we're buying more than we can afford.
But
sorry, maybe you need the second or third version down, and maybe someday we can build it out. But guess what?
Well,
we need at least.
It's always a win-win though, Max, for those guys, the bean counters, because the bean counters. How they work is if you can make a system that can actually do that of two or three other things, well, then everybody's like, whoa, I like that, because then now I can reduce manpower. And then reduce manpower means I don't need as many schools. And then I don't, you know, but the fact is you can't do. That's just talk. That's locker room talk. And I'm twice as good as, you know, that guy. And that's just it. The system can't do more. I mean, it just does things more efficiently sometimes.
Yeah,
I
look at it and I think, how does this make sense? How does having this small number make sense to somebody? And I think, again, I think the Navy has some serious soul searching to do. And I, you know, this super, it's just like the F-35. You need this many of them and you have this much in the budget. It can't suck the life out of every other program. So it might be transformational, but maybe in a smaller kind of way than what you want, because there's other parts of the budget that have to breathe too. So, here's another email. So, do you guys hate the FBI? I'll answer that first. Mm-hmm. I hate people that won't live up to the oath that they take. You're not. If you want to be a political actor, then go ahead and run for office and be Al Franken. Okay. Go do that. But if you raise your hand as a civil servant, right, as a member of the FBI, the Justice Department, then is your moral obligation to enforce the rules of the nation. And
you just set everything aside though. You have to be a professional.
And it's just like, yeah, again, I know it's a stupid thing. But when you hear Marines say, I'm not putting that picture up in my CP, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you shut up and you put that, you personally put it up right now. What?
Yep.
Yeah, you heard me. And hey, I don't want to hear that bullshit, okay?
Well, you have to set all your prejudices aside, your bias. You have to set everything aside when you're a professional. Everything. And I know that's hard to do. And, you know, and I've said this before to people, is every one of us, regardless of who you are, has prejudices. That's okay. But as long as you know that you do and what they are, and that you're willing to set them aside and look at something, you know, then that's fine. I have no problem with that. The problem with the FBI is they won't even admit that. Well, we don't have any prejudices. You do. We're law enforcement. That doesn't make you above the law.
Well, you know what? Let me just tell you. And Mike and I have talked about this before relative to the Marine Corps. When you think you're above the law, that's when bad stuff. When we don't need to play by the rules, when we are on our own program, in every one of the cases where bad stuff has happened, that is a precursor to the bad thing happening. We don't need to follow all the rules. We got it. We know the deal. When you hear that, that ought to scare the shit out of you.
Run.
run, Forrest. Run.
Yeah.
The other thing to do is if you can't separate that, then it's time for you to resign. Resign and then go take up your cause someplace and go be an advocate. Maybe you can only do it for so long. And if you reach your point, then quit. But some of this stuff is, it sounds like the institution that, you're counting on to be honest and to keep the nation's nose pointed into the wind is not doing that. And you're just like, God almighty, are you kidding me?
And the worst thing is, this is a crime fighting. I mean, so this is the same organization that, you know, can have you in its sights too. And if it can't do simple things right, it's clearly not going to do you any justice either.
Right. And again, it's that we don't have to play it by the rules. And again, I often say that I had no idea what really the staff judge advocates in the Marine Corps, their contribution, you know, in peacetime, they're court-martialing somebody. But when you go to war, the staff judge advocate's an important person because they come down and
investigate. Yeah, he keeps you morally grounded.
Yeah.
Grounded.
They keep you pointed in the right direction because there's a big difference between killing in combat and murder. And if Marines know that nobody's checking, like who?
Well, there's not a big difference. There's a fine line. You can be murdering people and call it killing, but if you're not doing it right, it's murder.
Right. But I would say, Mike, but we all know there's
it's easy to murder in combat.
Right.
It is.
Right. You know what? Again, how easy it is. You can make up a story. You can do all kinds of stuff. But you know. And your Marines know. And if you go down that road, again, and it's funny because a lot of these things we talk about tie into this. The whole, why do you keep your honor clean? Because you got to live with that. And yeah, you may not be investigated by the SJA, but when you're alone in your home, Carl Marlass still talks about the NVA soldier that was trying to surrender that he shot and killed because he was pissed because one of their iconic Marines had been killed 10 minutes earlier. So he just wasted him. He said, I still see that guy in my sleep. You got to live with it. And that's why you keep your honor clean, first and foremost for you. And that's why if you can't do it to keep your honor clean, this guy, I don't know who this guy is that with the texts and all this, you know, but he rose to, you know, he's the guy looking at the emails on, you know, that have to do with Hillary Clinton. He's the guy looking at the emails that are on Andrew Weiner's computer. I mean, that's just not any guy. He's destroyed his career. He's destroyed his credibility. So, like Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer's, you know, $20 million job at the top of his profession completely destroyed it. And he will never, ever again make a public appearance that somebody's not going to protest that. If he doesn't go to jail. So pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. All right, what else is going on? You want to wish me happy birthday again?
Yes, happy birthday.
You know what? I like my birthday. A lot of people don't like their birthday. I like mine.
Yeah.
I like mine. All right, did you send me a present?
Yeah, it's in the mail. Actually, you know what? Carrie just sent me a picture of, it's a Marine 10 musical bottle opener sold at the Marine Shop. You know, if those that don't understand the Marine Shop in Quantico, there are some places down there that if you go in there, the goofiest thing that you can see is going to be there. And they're all targeted at, again, Marines that first come in and they want to buy like an Eve Globe and Anchor dish. It's an, you know, you'll never eat off of it, but it's an Eve Globe and Anchor dish.
They have everything. Eagle Globe and Anchor.
Remember this, spoons, sunglasses.
Grill magnets so that you can put it on your grill when you're driving around. So everybody, when you're coming, they can see like, oh, that guy's a Marine. Right.
Yeah, license plates of your MOS.
That's right. My son is a Marine. Proud father.
All the stickers.
My daughter's a
Marine. My nephew. My great niece is a Marine.
You can get it made. And again, literally everything. Everything you could ever want.
Thing. Yeah. Marine cigars. Cigars with a Marine sticker around with a band.
Come on.
And packed in a Marine box.
Come on. That's ridiculous. But let me tell you, they wouldn't be producing it if somebody wasn't buying it. You know, but again, it goes to show the irrational pride that people take in becoming Marines. And again, Wes Fox, the first 4 years he was in the Marine Corps, did not wear civilian clothes. When he'd go home on leave and he'd be out working in the fields with his dad, put on his herringbone utilities, get out there and work, wore his uniforms out on liberty. Home, Camel Jern, whatever. And then Gunner knows Craig Corsi. And let me tell you, big guy, Italian guy, and funny. Corsi tells the funniest stories. He tells this story about he took out a $6,000 loan 2 months before he deployed back to Ramadi, I want to say in 2005 or 6. He's going to be a squad leader. And he did it because he didn't know if he was going to live. And so he figured that they were going to burn it down for the 3 months before they deployed. They flew places and got drunk, and he paid for stuff. He had $6,000 that he burned on limbo just because he didn't know if he was going to live. And he thought, what the hell? My life insurance will cover it. But anyway, Corsi tells a story that he gets to the fleet. And he's one of those, they're called motards in the Marine Corps. Okay. So very high. And I don't like to use the word, but that's what you're called in the Marine Corps. You're a little bit too motivated. He goes to go out on liberty the first night that he gets to his unit, and he's got the red silk jacket on, right? He's got his Marine hat.
It says Marine on the left side all the way down. U.S. Marine.
He's got the hat that says Marine.
With all the patches on the arm of what units you've been to, where boot camp, MCRD, School of Infantry West so far,
Right. So he goes to sign out, and the duty NCO looks at him and says, where are you going dressed like that? He goes, Corporal, I'm going out on liberty. And the corporal looks at him and says, no, you're not. And he's, what do you mean, Corporal? You're not going out in town dressed like that. You're going to get your ass beat. I'm proud to be a Marine. Nobody's gonna beat my ass. You better get your dumb ass upstairs and you better change. No, I'm a Marine. I will not allow you out to go on liberty. That's
motard.
And he tells this story about going home on leave, and his family wanted to take a picture, so he's in his blues. And there's nobody that can cut a high and tight, so he decides he's going to do it. He said what I was left with was this rectangular block of hair in the front of my head. I had shaved every other bit of it off. And then my parents, I was like, I'm ready. Okay, son, let's go. And they went down, they took the family picture. He said, it's the stupidest thing you've ever seen. And my parents still have it up in the house. Just hilarious. But there you go. I'm trying to think if I have any crazy. Nothing. I don't have anything. I have things people gave me. I have some Marine Corps posters. We don't promise you a rose garden in here. I don't have anything too crazy. What's the craziest Marine thing you own, Mike?
I have a big. And it's still in the drawer, still in the box, but I have a big Eagle of an Anchor brass door knocker.
I bought this in Korea in 19.
Well, I never bought anything.
In 1980 something. I think it's still around here someplace, but it is a gigantic blanket. Absolutely gigantic. It's about 10 feet by 12 feet, and there's the biggest Eagle Globe and Anchor you've ever seen on it. You know, you can buy them in Korea, and they come in these plastic box bags. And, man, it's been around forever.
But see, you're a parent now, the Marines. You can actually do that goofy crap.
I can do that? It's acceptable?
Yeah, but go out and buy all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. My sons will go for it.
Patrick. Yeah, I know, but next time you go visit Patrick or somebody, wear like a Marine Corps, my son's a proud father of a U.S. Marine hat, get one of those Libo jackets, and then get the red sweatpants, and then get the Marine Corps socks with the Marine Corps shoes.
I can't do that. And wear your Corps frams?
And then a big Marine Corps Eagle Ranker belt buckle.
I couldn't do that. I could never do that with a school.
Dude,
that'd
be so freaking
Patrick, they're having their ball tonight, I think. In Vegas, 3-5 is. Do you think Patrick even asked, hey, do you guys want to come to our ball?
He didn't ask?
No, he didn't even ask.
Well, if he doesn't want you showing up, you know, and being the discussion.
Oh, really?
Or he's probably realizing that you've been to enough, you don't need to go to another one. He probably remembers, and you don't remember saying it, but I bet you did. When he was young, you know, young teenager in the development stage, and there he sees dad getting ready for the ball, and you're saying, God, I hate these things. I don't want to wear this uniform. I don't want to go to these anymore.
He doesn't remember.
So you remember those.
I asked him.
He's probably saying to himself.
I said, why don't you even ask if we want to come? Like, why do I want you at my ball? Why do I want you at
it's
my ball?
Ball. It's not your ball.
I'm like, well, we're your family. You couldn't even, like, ask if we want to go. He goes, well, I don't want you guys.
Then you should have played that. I wasn't going to go anyway. I mean, just to ask.
We said, no, John asked when he was with 1-7. Well, that's John. But
has he asked again?
Well, he's in Quantico now. So, yeah, he can ask all he wants. Nobody's going. Patty's like, well, Dad, like, I don't want you guys there. Where it's like, I'm going to be with my friends, and there's going to be our Marines around. Like, come on. Like, why do I want my mom and dad around that?
Yeah, telling stories.
Yeah.
You remember when Patrick, I'll tell you a story.
There you go. Yeah. Patrick, he doesn't even invite us, right? Doesn't even invite us. So, anyway. Okay.
Well,
do you have any big plans? What are you going to do the rest of the day?
When Patrick becomes an old crusty major, maybe he will.
There you go. All right. Any big plans for the day?
Today? No, not really. Doing some laundry. Waiting for my special order that I ordered through Walmart to actually call in and say it shipped. My wife is losing her ever loving mind over this.
What did you special order?
3 articulating TV stands so you can put the TVs in the rooms up on the wall.
What is articulating?
So we ordered them.
What does articulating mean?
It means they, you know, they put it on the wall and then they can move. They can pull away from the wall. They can tilt up left and right. You know, that whole thing.
That's articulating. Okay.
So we ordered them right after Thanksgiving and they were supposed to be here like on November 30th. Well, they didn't show up. So when we contacted the customer service, they said, well, it got lost in shipping. And then they contacted me again and said, the order for some reason got canceled. So we're going to wait for that to go through the system, and then we're going to reorder them, and then you'll have them again. And the wife, of course, is like, well, we paid for them. You know, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, they know that. You know, and we want these things. And it's like, I'm trying to explain to her. And I said to her, you know, last night, finally, I was like, listen, what do you want to do? Do you want to cancel the order completely? Well, no. Well, okay, then just let it be then. Quit by you getting upset and then talking to people on the phone that clearly don't know what the hell they're talking about. This makes you more upset, does not get here any faster. In fact, it causes me having anxiety. She's like, well, why? And I said, because I have to listen to you being upset all day about something you have no control over. And it's the same thing, you know, and I've told people, only get upset over something that you have effect over, that you can control. You know, you can't control time, so don't go, gosh, I wish there was 25 hours in the day. Oh, God, so mad. I don't have enough time to do this. Okay. Don't invent that kind of stuff. That makes no sense to me. I just look at you and then walk away.
Aren't you going
to comment on what?
If people that don't know you are listening to this right now, they think you're like the most together. Okay, let me just tell you, Mike doesn't observe any rules. Mike plays by Mike's rules. And let me tell you what rule that is. whatever rule that needs to be applied gets applied in a very selective basis. And then when he decides to change all of it, guess what? It all gets changed.
With no notification.
And now he's acting like Mr. Rational Common Sense. This is the second time in the week you've done this. Because Montana Man actually texted me behind your back and he said, "Whoa, Gunner being rational today. What's up with that?" I said,
"No, I got that same text. He said we're getting logical Gunner today."
I said,
"Logic Gunner."
I said, "Look, every once in a while he gets the meds right, okay? And then we get rational, logical Mike." So,
okay, I promise to be more irrational tomorrow. Hey, have you ever got these duster cans? You know, the power dusters. Remember we had them in the Marine Corps? Cans of air with a little red straw?
Yes. Those are worthless.
And then here, can you hear it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I like just blowing stuff around. But here's the thing. Never turn it upside down and spray like your finger.
Oh, you know, everybody just went for their can right now.
Well, don't do it because you know what happens?
Yeah, it gets frozen.
Yeah, the liquid comes out and it freezes things instantly.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I did it to my hand by accident. I was trying to get underneath something and it sprayed and it hit my finger and I was like, oh my God, and it burned so bad. Oh.
You're going to have everybody.
Oh my God.
That's just like saying, okay, look, if you have an aerosol can, don't put a match in front of it and then spray it. Do not do that. You're going to have a flamethrower on your hands, for God's sakes.
Don't do it.
Do not do it. And don't try to kill flies like that. All right? All's that's going to happen.
That is fun, by the way. Oh, you know what? I can kind of freeze a fly on the window pane. Put it instantly into a cryogenic state. Yeah. And then
keep it.
Thaw it out a week later. And then it would be the oldest fly, because don't they have 24-hour life expectancy?
Well,
it's the oldest fly in the world.
Isn't that what they tried to do with Ted Williams? This kid had his head cut off and they cryogenically froze it and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so.
That was gruesome, man. Yeah, that was gruesome. Ted Williams, Marine officer, fighter pilot. All right. We're over.
All right.
We're over time. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, man.
Yo.
You milking this thing so damn long. I can't wait for tomorrow.
What do you mean? It's post birthday. That's almost as good as your birthday.
No, you're not a girl, man. Girls only do that.
That's right. I get confused sometimes.
And God forbid if your wife's birthday falls on a Friday or a Saturday, because then it's birthday weekend.
Well, why is it always more important when it involves a woman?
I don't know. And then this is the first one to never tell you their age. Because they're crazy.
They are. It's my birthday week. What? Week?
Right, crazy. Yeah.
Week. No, it's my birthday weekend. Oh.
That means we're going to tell everybody how old you are.
Car swerving, going in the ditch. No, we're not. Yeah, we are.
Yeah. All right. We're over.
Later. Yep. That is the one and only Michael Musselman. That'll do it. This program repeats itself momentarily, so whatever you do, do not touch that dial. Email, Mac, I'm laughing at you telling stories about that Corsi guy. He sounds funny. First of all, he's no kidding, war hero. Purple Heart. He'll tell you stories about throwing hand grenades back after the Taliban are throwing them at them. Not Taliban, Al-Qaeda guys are throwing it at them in Ramadi. But he tells the funniest stories. Hilarious. He tells a story about he got sent out to qualify with a pistol because somebody got sick and wasn't going to go. And they said, hey, Staff Sergeant, you want to go out and qualify? Might have been a sergeant. Like, yeah. But he's never been on a pistol range. But it's like, so he's you know, he's getting in his position. He's got his ammunition. And they say, with 15 rounds and a magazine, you know, and it's the slow fire, right? You know, lock and load. Well, for whatever reason, he thought it was the rapid fire. So, and he tells the story, hilarious. And he said, so, you know, everybody's getting ready for the slow fire, right? And they say, targets, right? And all the targets turn. And he starts, bam, 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 bam. Take a breath. Bam, 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 bam. Take a breath. Bam, bam. And he's like, I don't know if I can get the, you know, all the rounds off in time. And, you know, I finish, slide locks the rear. I look, and everybody on the range is looking at him, right? Like, who is this crazy man? Because you have like 15 rounds in 10 minutes, I think, or whatever it used to be. And he's fired. He thinks it's the rapid fire and he's got like 60 seconds or whatever. Oh my God. And then to hear him tell the story, just hilarious. You know, before, like, he said, you know, there's a female Marine next to me. He's like, well, she can do this. I could do this, man. You know, he's cranking his neck around, getting ready, trying to get comfortable. Targets! Everybody else is shooting like this, looking around, breathing, and then he starts, bam, bam, bam. It's awesome. He's a funny dude. Anyway, on my birthday, thank you very much for listening. My thanks to Chris Woodbridge, Colonel, retired, editor and publisher of the Marine Corps Gazette, publisher of Leatherneck Magazine, for coming on and talking about our sister service, United States Navy. Again, Marine Corps doesn't do everything right, but we still struggle with leadership, and that's some of the stuff that you hear us talking about on a consistent basis. The Navy struggles more though. I think they tried to do this whole management thing. To me, they're pretty civilian in their approaches to it, and you don't hear the guys in the Navy say, "Because I fucking told you to," very much. And, you know, there needs to be a fair amount in the military. And that is people being in charge, people ramming it through the way it needs to be done or the best way they can get it done. And being that guy or that girl. Navy needs some of that. So, no, my thanks to Tom Droughty, Brigadier General, United States Marine Corps, Naval Academy grad, for coming on. And then the gunner. So, on my 60th birthday. Happy birthday to everybody. On a Thursday, All Marine Radio. Over and out. Yeah, if you tuned in late, you're going to hear FDR's entire speech that he gave to a joint session of Congress on December 8th. And so don't touch that dial. It's great stuff. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.